Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
With 10 points marking a length that is one length of a horse, looking at the Breitbart poll, we have Trump continuing to extend his lead, polling at 33.7, while Ted Cruz has surged to within a head at 31.1, Ben Carson trailing 2.5 lengths behind at 7.8, Fiorina at his hindquarters with 6.3, and Walker coming up hard on Carly at 4.6, and through my field glasses, I can't find the rest. Real Clear Politics provides a sheet that averages all polling data from every major poll taken since last November, and that gives you a kind of ranking of the candidates from the time they entered in. If we look at the six major polls in this report for August, one from CNN, two from Fox News, one from Rasmussen, Monmouth, Bloomberg, and CBS, and you average these and then compare the results to that average taken from Real Clear Politics, which tracks all the major polls since November, well, you get a sense of the current standing and the movement of the candidates. So here we go. Yeah. Trump holds his lead at 23.3, gaining a little over 1 point on his average, with Bush trailing Trump more than a full length at 11.7. Walker rides at the 8.7, gaining 1 point from his average, with Rubio slipping back 1 point to 6.4, and then Cruz slightly back of his nose at 6.3, having slipped 1 point from his average. But Huckabee is creeping up on them all with 5.7, and that's up from 4.3. And then Paul holding steady at 4.4, and a point behind Paul, you've got Kasich, Fiorina, and Christie, all of them vying for ninth place at 3.4, with Fiorina losing the most ground from her average. And in the back, we have Perry at 1.5, Santorum at 1.3, Jindal at 1, and Graham at 0.4. So there it is, my friends. I understand that for the first time, Trump has taken the lead in a national poll, considering all candidates in the field, both GOP and DNC. Now, I'm sure that makes all the Trumpophiles happy. I agree with El Rushbo that the only right answer to Trump is really to out-Trump him. Now, he didn't put it in so many words, but that's my take on what he's saying and what I've already thought. You know, study the Trumpster. Pay attention to what's giving him the attention he's getting, and then out-Trump him. You know, Cruz can do it. And I think he is doing it. But the media tend to ignore him. Trump gets most of their attention, or at least it appears that way. You are aware that Cruz has said, I mean, virtually everything Trump has said. Only if you examine what he said as compares to Trump, you'll see it was said by Cruz more intelligently, more coherently. Really, Cruz is about the only one. Walker has flipped back and forth on the border. He's now talking like a Bushy. Maybe they're planning to do a Jeb Walker ticket. You know, I don't know. Maybe Walker's walking back his late comments back to his earlier position on that subject. Cruz is right on regarding the border and regarding ISIS and all the rest, but he does not get the media attention Trump gets because, well, probably many reasons, but one of them, Trump is one of them. I mean, you know, he's one of the media personalities, right? He really is. He's in that group. I really don't think it will work out for candidates to attack him. Cruz said it's not a good move to take a stick and hit him, and I agree with that. Leave that to moi. Cruz has the right idea. I used to really like Walker, and I still do, but not as much. He's becoming kind of a mushy-bushy. Maybe it will pay off for him. I don't know. Jeb actually made a good point when he brought up Trump's conservative credentials, or shall I say the lack thereof. The only problem is I don't think Jeb's answer to the borders, his support for Common Core, or his big government approach does much for his credentials, all right? Besides that, I don't think he has the street cred persona that Trump is able to put on. If you know what, there's no denying that Trump is the master of the glittering generality. the firebomb verbiage, the feisty street fighter who's not afraid to throw jabs at, well, anyone, even the girls. And I know I'm paying dearly for my unwillingness to jump on the Trump train here, so allow me to explain my position to my beloved audience, many of whom really like Trump, and then I'll leave it alone until I can't stand it anymore and have to speak up. First, I don't speak for anyone but myself, all right? I want to make that clear. The Lighthouse Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, is an independent Baptist church. And you might not understand that mentality. We're all about individualism. We're about freedom of the conscience. I don't speak for my church on political issues. I speak my mind as an individual. And each one in our church makes up their own mind about these and really just about everything else. Second, my problem with Trump was pretty well summed up, I think, by what Jeb brought out recently. He really does not have a long-standing conservative record. He has close ties with the Clintons. He has contributed more money to liberals than to conservatives in the past. By his own admission, he buys politicians to gain favors. What are you thinking to be supporting a fellow like that? I just don't get you. I mean, not when we have people like Cruz and Walker and these other guys available to us. Look, we refused to pay attention to Obama's past relationships and his connections and positions, and look what it got us. And of course, I mean as a nation. Obviously, I paid attention, and you paid attention to those things. We knew full well what we were getting ourselves into. Obama is a man who turns his back on a baby born alive from a botched abortion attempt and would look the other way or go play golf while the fiendish doctors strangle the baby to death. And so what do we have as a president? Well, I'll tell you what we've got. We got a man who has not made a peep about the recent video to surface revealing another Planned Parenthood act of murder, mutilation, taking a living baby with its heart beating, slicing its little face open to harvest its brain hole. And we have a president who says nothing about that. Let's just go play golf. We have a president who hears the news about Benghazi and goes to bed and then tells a lie to cover it up. We have a president who knew of a 22-year-old American woman who went to Iraq to make a difference, to help the hurting people there, simply to minister to those who are suffering. And she was kidnapped by an ISIS leader, by ISIS, and turned over to their leader, kept in chains and forced to serve as his sex slave, while that president, that monster that sits in the White House right now, paints it with a rainbow, that wicked, cold-hearted traitor to the trust of the American people that they've placed in him, hides it from the American people and does nothing. He makes a deal with Iran that allows them to conduct their own inspections to verify compliance. Can you believe that? How stupid is that? Essentially allowing them to proceed, really, undercover in their effort to obtain a nuke while Americans are being held hostage by that same terrorist state. And he says nothing and does nothing about an American woman taken hostage by ISIS and forced to be a sex slave to the ISIS leader. Well, I'm not going to sit back and watch as we make a similar mistake with Trump, and not that he would do any of those things. I'm not saying that. But I'm not going to ignore his record. I'm going to look at his associations. I'm going to look at his past connections. And I wish you would, and I wish you'd quit making excuses for all of it. That's exactly what they did with Obama. Now stop it. Look at the man. His conservative credentials are spotty at best. But really, why would anyone take that guy seriously when we've got at least four good and honest men with solid conservative credentials available to us? No doubt part of it is the simple fact that he is entertaining. He is something of a novelty. And the MSM are pushing him out in front. They're fueling his populism with extensive media attention. While it seems virtually ignoring Cruz and the others, one wonders if perhaps they welcomed the clown as a welcomed distraction from the real bulls in the ring. Perhaps they're relieved to have an excuse to keep the spotlight off the real conservatives of this race and giving them too much voice and too much access to the American people. I don't know. The bottom line, my friends, is that while I think Trump would be a great trumpet heralding any one of the four genuine conservatives running in this race, and I would name Cruz and Huckabee and Paul and Walker in that group, Trump a great pot stirrer, indeed. And we have him to thank for this current debate on immigration. I think we need a fully credentialed, long-standing, solid conservative, however, going into this race in 2016. Okay. I need to move toward our first break. If Trump does become the contender for the White House against whatever commie socialist the Dems are going to put up against us in 2016, I can vote for Trump. And I certainly hope he will do what he said and support the candidate that wins the primary if he doesn't win it. Maybe Trump will prove me wrong about him. I think he'll go third party in that case. And if he does, by the way, if he proves me wrong, hey, I'll admit it. I'll be the first to admit it. And I'll admit it happily. You know, it won't be the first crow I've ever eaten, but it will certainly be one of the most welcomed dishes of crow I've ever ate. Okay. When I get back, my friends, let's talk about this anchor baby business, shall we?
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
You know, we've never had a better opportunity to get a genuine conservative in the White House. But which of these candidates should receive the Christians' vote? We have got to have someone who will close our borders, stop this insane deal with Iran, and address this crushing debt. And we must have someone who has the sense to know that government has no business being in bed with Planned Parenthood, selling baby parts and cannibalizing infants. We must have someone who respects the Constitution and the laws of this land and individual freedoms. And I'm talking gun rights. But it's got to be someone we can trust. How do we see past the showmanship and hear through the noise? Come Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse, when Pastor Scheidbach will show you how to use the light of God's Word to expose the heart of these candidates.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria. Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God in 2015? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015 and know that God is real. Pastor Scheidbach's series of messages, Encounter God, are delivered Sunday mornings at the Lighthouse.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow
you. Hello,
your mind.
Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that is doing everything it can to steal from us our liberties. Anchor babies. Simply put, it refers to babies born in the United States of non-citizen parents. But it has a particular connotation. It's used for illegals who come here on purpose to have their baby, expecting that baby will automatically be given American citizenship. It's an expression that has been used in America for a few decades. It was first, it was anchor child. The term anchor child was used for the very young Vietnamese immigrants who were coming here as boat people. Remember that? In the late 1980s. And as it began to become public that there was an entire industry here that has a name. It's called the maternity tourism industry in America, believe it or not. And recently, and I mean only as far back as March this year, federal agents in Los Angeles raided three separate multi-million-dollar birth tourism businesses. The guys arranged for mothers from Mexico and China and other places to come to America to have their baby here in order that the baby will be given citizenship by birthright. Anyway, the term anchor baby appeared in print in 1996 and became common in American parlance in the mid-2000s on the issue of illegal immigration and babies being born here and so on. But it was about 2006 when the issue of illegal immigration really began to stir significant public interest in debate, and then some noted lexicographer named, anyway, he nominated the term for the American Dialect Society's 2006 Word of the Year. So it became, you know, he started getting into dictionaries and stuff like that. What is the benefit of having an anchor baby? Well, first off, most people seem to believe it confers automatic citizenship. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. Why do these mothers want their child to be an anchor baby? This from an article I read recently. Quote, statistics show that a significant and rising number of illegal aliens are having children in the United States. And as an aside, I'll add as many as 400,000 per year, by the way. Back to the article. But there is mixed evidence that acquiring citizenship for the parents is their goal. It goes on, citizen children cannot sponsor parents for entry into the country until they are 21 years of age. And if the parent had ever been in the country illegally, they would have to show they had left and not return for at least 10 years, end quote. So what's the benefit? Quote, however, pregnant and nursing mothers could receive free food vouchers through the federal WIC, that's Women, Infants, and Children program, and enroll the children in Medicaid, not to mention the free education and so on. And with Obama's executive orders, it does afford to the parents a kind of anchor for themselves in this country also. As, quote, parents of citizen children who have been in the country for 10 years or more, or who are here at all under Obama, can apply for relief from deportation, end quote. And although supposedly this is limited to only 4,000 such cases each year, well, you know what's going on with regard to that. In other words, they view it as a path to citizenship that allows them to enjoy virtually full benefits of citizenship during the meanwhile, so they don't have to wait. Now, Trump, Bush, and although Cruz hasn't, so far as I know, actually used the expression, he defended Trump's use of it and blasted those who kicked up all the dust over it as engaging in political correctness, and I'm with him there, saying what the American people want is for something to be done about this problem. And I agree with him. Anyway, it's in the debate now, and it's a term that has become parlance in the immigration debate in America to speak of a baby born here of illegal aliens, and more on that in a moment, and on Russia's recent epiphany about the illegals being invaders. But Clinton jumps on it and demagogues it right away, saying, they're not anchor babies, they're just babies. Huh. Obviously, the illegals don't like the term because it brings attention to what they are doing and puts it in a negative light. All of those in favor of amnesty for illegals resent this term. Let's look into it. First, is it true that a baby born on U.S. soil is automatically given U.S. citizenship status? Well, the answer is actually no. Babies born here of parents in another country are citizens of the native country of their parents. Now, it is true that such a child can later use the fact of their U.S. birthplace in their petition to have U.S. citizenship granted to them. And it's true in our current environment that it's virtually the law, but legally speaking, it's not. In law, you go back to United States versus Wong Kim Ark in 1898, where the 14th Amendment was used to argue that since Wong Kim Ark was actually born in the United States of parents who were here legally, that he had the right to U.S. citizenship. The court, however, did not rule that the citizenship is automatically conferred upon anyone born here, but recognized the right of someone born here to petition for citizenship based on the 14th, which says, and this is important, so listen carefully, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States, end quote. You see, not only must they be born here, they must be born here as subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, that doesn't mean merely that they are subject to our laws. Anybody within our borders is subject to our laws. The idea here of jurisdiction requires that the person have the official status as being under the legal jurisdiction of the government. And that is important because children born to ambassadors here, for example, or visiting soldiers, stuff like that from other countries, well, they're not automatically regarded to be citizens just because they're born in the soil. Their citizenship extends to them from their parentage. The 14th was intended to address the citizenship status of freed slaves, since these men and women and children were identified as citizens in every meaningful way, and in every meaningful way under the jurisdiction of this country and so on. Themselves and their children born here were to be recognized as full citizens of the United States. See, there was no jurisdictional question in that regard. A child born here of parents whose citizenship is, say, Mexico raises a jurisdictional question. Does the child come under the jurisdiction of Mexico by reason of the Mexican parentage? Or is that jurisdiction automatically broken merely because the child happened to be born of those parents while they're here in America? Or are they automatically citizens in both countries? No, none of that happens automatically. Now, it does happen in our law that if these parents were invited here, that is, if they're here legally, in other words, and the child comes of age and desires to apply for citizenship, he may do so. And the fact that he was born here will certainly advance his cause. The issue is very relaxed at present, and so it's like de facto law that any child born here is considered a U.S. citizen, but that's not necessarily their legal status. In the case mentioned earlier, that of Wong Kim Ark, the court recognized that because his parents were here legally and the child desired U.S. citizenship, it would be recognized. But whether this case establishes automatic automatic citizenship is still up to question. And the issue is jurisdiction. And when it comes to illegals, there's simply no question about jurisdiction. It doesn't exist. There is no jurisdictional issue because they came here illegally. Therefore, their babies are born here outside of U.S. jurisdiction. I did a thorough study on this some time back and did a show on it. And, you know, in the laws of nations, it is clear that nationality descends from the parents. When our founders spoke of natural-born citizens, they did not mean merely that the child was born naturally in our soil. It meant their nationality passed to them from the legal status of their parents. And that is the reason it was necessary for the founders to specifically state that those living in the confines of our nation's borders at the time the Constitution was ratified or at the time we became the United States of America, that these all would be regarded as citizens, and then thereafter, only those who are natural-born citizens would be so regarded. So the point is that when the United States was formed, many of those then living here, who had even been born here, were not considered natural-born citizens of the United States because the United States did not exist until then. They were naturally identified as citizens of Great Britain. Most of them, of course, came from Great Britain, some from France and elsewhere, but they declared the status of citizenship to be conferred upon all of those at our founding for obvious reasons. But what is important to us is that by doing so and differentiating that status from that of natural born showed that merely being born here is not what made them a citizen. To be a natural born citizen, one had to be born of parents who were already citizens. Now, the 14th, as I pointed out, addressed the specific problem of the status of freed slaves. And we certainly did not intend to throw out centuries of natural law or throw out the long-standing, the centuries-old traditions of the laws of nations. Nationality passes to the children from their parentage in the same way ethnicity does, or gender. As for whether these children should be called anchor babies, well, I'm with Trump. If you don't like that name, give us another one. Clinton says they're just babies. Well, that doesn't work because the illegals don't want them to be just babies. They want them to be United States citizen babies. If they're just babies, well, then their citizenship is not even addressed by the place of their birth. Okay, she's so disingenuous, it's unreal. If their citizenship is determined by the place of their birth, then every baby born here is not just a baby. It's a new citizen of the United States that will be trained to vote Democrat in the public indoctrination system called public education. So anyway, if you don't like anchor baby, you can't just call them a baby because that's not going to serve their purpose. Perhaps we can call them dim babies. No, that won't do. Shall we call them what we call their parents? That brings me to the whole illegal immigrant debate. Are they undocumented worker babies? is Carson Bush et al. Prefer? So these are undocumented babies? No, that's kind of weird. If we call their parents illegal immigrants, then should we call the children born here of them illegal immigrant babies? If we call their parents invaders, as Rush recently is insisting that we see these people crossing our borders as an invasion, sounds rather savage, doesn't it? Yeah. So do we view the babies as invaders? Invader babies or invasion babies? Probably not. Or are they illegal aliens? Well, again, technically, the child is also here illegally. So I guess there is justification for calling them illegal alien babies. And the truth is, I agree with Rush in as much as he is making the point that what these people are doing is not immigration. It is an invasion of our borders. Now, you might think of an armed force crossing our borders to conquer us, by military might. Have you ever heard of La Raza? Besides, the word also refers, by the way, to a large number of people entering our borders, especially when it has an intrusive effect. So there is full justification for calling what is going on at our border with Mexico an invasion. But, of course, the baby is not an invader, at least not until it grows up through our democratic indoctrination camps called public education, where they are not told the truth about America's founding, but trained to hate her as founded and recruited to participate in the overthrow of America as founded. Sad, isn't it? Something has got to be done about the education system in this country. Anyway, if according to the laws of nations, the national status of a child descends to the child from their parents, then children born to parents whose citizenship is Mexico must make them Mexican babies. And that's what they are. They're not American babies, they're Mexican babies. And ditto for the Chinese or any other nationality who does this. If they are born here outside of jurisdictional authority, then they cannot be considered U.S. citizens by right of birth because, by right, they should not have been born here. But that's simply too logical for the average dimwit to understand. Not D-I-M-D-E-M. Okay, you get it. Anyway, so the argument will roil along until the population regains its sanity and God grants us leaders whose sentiment is governed by sense and not the other way around. As for whether we should require all here illegally to return to their point of national origin, well, the answer is yeah. If the question is whether they should be able to get welfare and so forth, free education and all that, the answer is, Well, no. Now, if a private citizen desires to reach out and help them, go ahead. You want to include them in your private school, or you want to take them into your home and homeschool them with your kids or something. It's your money. It's your business. And, you know, give them food and clothing and extend some mercy to them. I think that's fine. In fact, that's appropriate. I mean, you know, feed them, take care of them until they can get on their free bus ride back across the border. If they resist arrest for their crime of crossing our border illegally, well, then they have to come under the power of law and be compelled to comply with law. But if you don't want to feed them out of your own money, then why should you feed them out of the public trough, out of your neighbor's pocket? What, are you a thief? You would rob your neighbors to express your charity? What kind of charity is that? These libs are funny folk, you know. In Old Town Alexandria in Northern Virginia, a well-known liberal enclave, a reporter for CNS News asked passersby what they thought about busing illegal minors into their town. Well, they were all for it, of course, until the reporter presented a paper for them to sign and asked them to offer their house to house the illegals. Not one would agree to that. And that's the way it is, these liberals, you know. As long as it's somebody else's money or somebody else's inconvenience or some impersonal public bureaucracy is taking care of it with our tax money and so on, well, that's fine. But if it involves them in any personal or immediate way, no way. Why can't these folks see that principle also works for the tax-paying citizen who says, I don't want my tax money being used to support or to encourage illegal activity, okay? You know, like murdering babies in order to harvest their brains? Folks, you know, we've never had a better opportunity to get a genuine conservative in the White House. But which of these very good candidates should receive the Christian's vote? I invite you to come Sunday night as my guest, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. I will show you how to use the light of God's Word to expose the heart of these candidates and to navigate you through this process. Biblical principles that guide Christian voters to properly steward their vote. I think it's important, and you need to hear this message. Afterwards, we'll meet in our fellowship hall for some refreshments and some discussion where you will be given an opportunity to speak your mind and or to ask your questions. You're going to love it. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with me, lights off if you disagree. And either way, I appreciate your response. Love to hear from my listeners. If you'd rather write an email to me, go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll find there a place to write me an email, and I always respond to my email messages. Now, folks, I recently completed a series called The Bible and the Bill of Rights. All of those messages are posted on our website. Go to our website, santamarialighthouse.org. That's santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the resources button in the menu bar across the top. Scroll down to sermons, and then you'll see another menu pop up, and the first one in that list will be The Bible and the Bill of Rights. Go in there. You can download all of them. There are 6 messages. You can download them, of course, for free. Then you go into our bookstore. You can get the manuscript for each of those lessons. Fully documented, supported, so on. I think you'll love it. A total of 6 of them, and they're all free during the month of August. At the end of August, we're going to package them into a bundle, and then, of course, you'll have to buy them. But you can get them free right now, so go to our website, santamarialighthouse.org. Go to the bookstore to get the manuscript. Go to the resources button there and go down to sermons to get the audio. All right, my friends, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
You know, we've never had a better opportunity to get a genuine conservative in the White House. But which of these candidates should receive the Christian's vote? We have got to have someone who will close our borders, stop this insane deal with Iran, and address this crushing debt. And we must have someone who has the sense to know that government has no business being in bed with Planned Parenthood, selling baby parts and cannibalizing infants. We must have someone who respects the Constitution and the laws of this land and individual freedoms. And I'm talking gun rights. But it's got to be someone we can trust. How do we see past the showmanship and hear through the noise? Come Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse, when Pastor Scheidbach will show you how to use the light of God's Word to expose the heart of these candidates.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road, Santa Maria.
How would you like to encounter God in 2015? Are you ready for a renewed experience of God with a fresh encounter this year? Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. Get ready to encounter God and know that He is real.